This podcast brought to you by Aviation Safety Magazine, the monthly journal of risk management and accident prevention.
Hey everybody, this is Jeff Rappaport reporting for AvWeb from the Sustainable Aviation Symposium in Redwood City, California 2017. I'm speaking with Dr. Tine Tomazic, an R&D engineer with Pipistrel, the Slovenian manufacturer of light sport aircraft and motor gliders, what they're best known for, but also leaders in the electric aircraft field. Tine, thanks for speaking with me today.
You're most welcome. It's a great opportunity to be here at the symposium and also discuss the future of flight and electric flight technologies.
Tine, just to warm our audience up, could you give me a 30-second arc of your career?
So I'm an electrical engineer by education, and I joined Pipistrel officially in 2007. I have previously worked there as an intern for another 5 more years. And I started with certification of non-electric aircraft, but then soon transversed into powered gliders. That was the first Pipistrel's electric project, the Taurus Electro. And since then, I was involved in 7 electric aircraft projects. For some, I was the program lead. For some others, I had minor contributing roles, but it continues to spark my interest, and also I continue to see and seek ideas on what the next projects could be, even more outlining the benefits of electric propulsion itself and how to marry the airframe and propulsion combination in the most effective way.
Tell me about why we're not flying electric aircraft yet. Are technical challenges the biggest problem, and if so, what are the technical limitations that we're working on?
So why is electric flight not as popular as one would have wished? I think it all comes down to people's expectations. The most straightforward form of an electric aircraft is the one powered by batteries, and batteries will always be the factor on the aeroplane which is hindering endurance and performance. So it all comes down to really accepting what the aeroplane does or doesn't and recognizing its advantages overall, We at Pipistrel are trying to look into missions which are actually fulfilled in a better way because the plane is electric, such as training, for example, or launching for self-launching gliders. And these are also the two products that we ship to customers. In those two types of flying, the endurance actually is not a factor because it's either the student that's the limiting factor in a training environment, or the aeroplane does exactly what you want it to do in a glider scenario where the whole propulsion system is essentially an elevator and then you don't need it in any case. So it's either going to take hybridization or people to understand that electric flight is in fact different. It offers different possibilities, different advantages, and it's not about re-engineering the existing airframes with an electric propulsion, be it battery powered or some other form, and expect the same characteristics. I will not say the same advantages or performance, but characteristics. It's just different, and slowly but surely people are beginning to understand that, and they are ready to actually adjust their style of flying and appreciate the benefits and the nice things that electric flight brings.
You could probably do a multi-day seminar on this, but tell me, what is the basic state of affairs on certification of electric aircraft around the world? When are we going to see them in the U.S.? Are they already available in Europe, other parts of the world? What's happening?
So for the most part, pretty much anywhere you go, electric flight is enabled. So one can register the aeroplane and use it for private operations. As long as that's a non-commercial nature, that's totally fine. So the common belief that electric aeroplanes are illegal to fly or they're not enabled to receive airworthiness certificates, it's not true. There are, however, still globally countries where you cannot use this aeroplane for training. You cannot use them for commercial reasons, but this is changing slowly but surely. I think Australia and New Zealand were the first major civil aviation authorities that embraced electric flight as a whole. So the aeroplanes of, let's say, smaller size, if they are compliant with the light sport regulations, they can do everything conventionally powered light sport can. Europe was closed second, the light sport category there. CSLSA also permits for electric flight, and we are looking into that. Actually, from the bigger players, it is the FAA that appears to be a bit behind, but they have begun to send out signals that they are more than willing to change that. So I think we can look towards a very interesting future, maybe very soon.
Pipistrel recently announced that you're expecting EASA certification for your Panthera four-seat, approximately 200 knot, approximately 1,000 nautical mile range airplane. Any guess when we're going to see one of those flying in the United States?
When we are talking about certification in Part 23, actually a lot of interesting and exciting things have happened in the recent years. I was part of the group preparing the new generation of standards, which are now in sync between Europe, so EASA, and America, the FAA. And part of the reason why the certification effort on Panthera was postponed slightly was to ride the wave of the new certification principle and the new rules, which will basically enable much more straightforward validation to the US. We will be certifying the airplane with EASA, accounting for all of the validation things already as part of the main certification effort. So in about 2.5 years' time, I think customers can look forward to flying FAA-certified Panteras in the States as well.
Speaking of the Pantera and Diamond DA-50, which they recently announced, it seems like a lot of the exciting innovation is not coming out of the U.S., it's coming out of Europe. You know, what do you make of this? Is this the future of general aviation innovation?
There are developments within the U.S. as well that we are aware of. They're just not very public or not public at all. Maybe in Europe we are a little bit quick to announce things, and then things take more time than one would have wished for. Developments always go at the speed of cash, I like to say, and that's true for any company out there. In terms of innovation, what is maybe apparent to the outside observer is that the European companies are looking much more at a holistic approach to development. So Diamond is really progressing immensely on Jet A propulsion, so high quality, high performance diesels with protection systems in avionics as well as flight characteristics. Our Panthera is an attempt to position a high performance aeroplane between the DA-40 and the Cirrus range, by also catering for a sporty pilot. So it's a pilot's aeroplane. It's not just an aeroplane that you would fly around mostly on the autopilot, as one would probably expect from a Cirrus or a DA-50. It's more like a DA-40 pilot-friendly aeroplane, or a 182 type of aircraft, but much, much faster. So in the 200 knot range, there's not much out there. And Panthera is different also in the regard that you can utilize the 200 knot cruise speed without going high in the levels, requiring oxygen equipment and situations alike. In fact, with a normally aspirated engine, you can have this performance at much, much lower altitudes, even below 10,000 feet.
Tina, you have a pretty long flying career behind you and hopefully ahead of you. What's the most scared you've been in an airplane?
I have to admit it wasn't an electric airplane. It was in the prototype of the Taurus Electro when we were testing out different control principles, then utilizing a new motor. And there was a failure of the motor resulting in a motor fire in flight. But at that point, we did not know exactly what caused the malfunction. I managed to land just fine, but it was a totally unexpected thing. And, you know, it reminds you that when you do flight test, you don't only pay attention to the thing you are actually investigating. You still have to be aware of everything that goes on the aeroplane and around you. So, yeah, I've been flying now for 18 years, hopefully many more to follow. But in this sense of flight testing and the activities we do, we also resort to analytical tools, and we try to simulate the flights that we do ahead of time. We also conducted the flight test campaign of the hydrogen-powered HY4 with DLR, and my colleague Paolo Romagnoli here, he did a brilliant job ensuring safety of flight, where we had to deal with a completely novel propulsion system on an unusual aeroplane, being a twin body with non-straightforward flying characteristics.
Tania, thanks for speaking with us. We look forward to seeing a lot of your work in the future.
You're most welcome. It's a great opportunity.
This is Jeff Rappaport reporting from the Sustainable Aviation Symposium in Redwood City 2017.